Johnny Carson once said, who? Actually, what Johnny Carson really said is, here's Eric.
Yay, there we go. I wonder what that means for the morning. Good morning, everybody. If you don't know me, my name is Eric Soderberg. I'm an elder at PBC, and I hang out here a step closer. And I love this place. This is good food for my soul, being up here with everybody. And we'll talk a little bit more about that.
You forgot your Elsie thing.
That's true. You know, I am Elsie. Elsie is my daughter. She is getting married in August, believe it or not. So that's the craziness in our life right now, figuring out how to navigate that. I haven't done this before, so learning as I go. I'll take any tips and advice anybody has. Has anybody eaten this stuff? What's it like? I've never had one of these. Is it a Starburst kind of thing? Taffy. It's harder than a Starburst. All right. The title I wanted to talk about is Now and Later, and I realized, oh, there's a candy that's pretty well known, but I've never had any of it, so I figured I should go find some and eat some to make sure it fits, but it doesn't matter. So, where are we? The usual question that we start with. No, Dyke, I like that. It's kind of an open question, right? We're here in the upper room, and we're studying the upper room. Pretty good. In the book of John. So what happened last week? I wasn't here last week. So who taught last week? Does anybody?
Bruce.
Anybody but Bruce remember what Bruce talked about last week?
Betrayal. The Bible.
Betrayal, okay.
Being all in.
Being all in, all right.
Wasn't it having something to do somebody, one of the disciples asked Jesus who was the favorite one?
Yeah.
Oh, was that last week? Nice.
10 weeks ago, I don't know.
Somebody recently. So this is the authorized photograph of the upper room meal, where everybody's sitting on the same side of the table. And so Judas, not in this picture, but just in the context of the upper room and where we are for the story, Judas has just left. Satan enters into Judas, and Judas hightails it out of there. And that's where we're starting. So they've been sitting, they've been having this meal for a while. Judas has been teaching for a while. Finally, he's like, somebody's going to betray me. It's the one I dipped the bread in with. He gives the bread to Judas. Judas is gone. That's where we're starting out today. So John 13, 31 and 32. Therefore, when he had gone out, he is Judas. So Judas has just exited the scene. Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. What's a word you see a lot in that?
Glorified.
See, that's a good level of question, right? Because there's no complication in that. In the prior parts of the gospel, Jesus is always saying, you know, now is not my time. You know, it's not my time to be glorified yet. Now it's the time, right? It's Jesus is sort of saying, all right, we're here, right? It's like watching the Super Bowl lead up for like 3 weeks before the Super Bowl, and then they finally start, you know, the official broadcast right as the game's about to start, and you go, all right, we've been leading up to this, and we're finally here. So we're finally at the big point of why Jesus came. This is where the glory part comes in. So I want to talk for a little bit about this. And picture the disciples, right? They've been tagging along with Jesus for years now, mostly kind of clueless about what he's been talking about, trying to get it, but getting confused a lot. And so they hear, you know, they're ready for him to lead and you know, do something. And then he's like, all right, now's the time, right? And so Think about what this word means a little bit for you or for us. What does the word glory bring to mind for you?
Praise. Triumph.
Triumph. Okay.
Good news.
Okay, yeah.
The American flag.
The American flag. Old glory. Yeah. And what why is that associated with the word glory?
It's old glory, that song. It was the name given to it in 1756, I think.
Is that where the name, where the term came from the song? I can't remember.
I can't speak on it.
That's good. Thank yeah.
Great accomplishments or achievements?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Victory. Yeah.
Bright and shining.
Bright and shiny. Yeah. It's something, right? It's like, you know, maybe we'll get another one of these coming up in a few weeks. Right? It's this moment, or it's this something happened that's really worth remembering. You're like, man, that was special. You know, that was glorious. Yeah.
A victory?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, Laura.
I went to a funeral yesterday here, and there were only like 10 or 12 people. And it's not like... But it was glorious. It's like this person that didn't have very much, and everybody spoke the treasure, and it was like there was glory in that room.
Yeah.
You know, like that.
I was there.
Yeah.
we're gonna talk about that in a little bit. That was a good event.
When you put it that way, glorious, I just think of the birth of Jesus. That's a pretty glorious occasion to me.
Yeah, memorable. Like, wow. But think about sort of our, right, sort of make it personal for us, right? Like, if you had the opportunity to be, like, down on the court, you know, in there, you'd be like, that would be pretty cool, you know? Like, people pay big money to get close to glory, to kind of be in the front row, to be, right? That's a big deal, right? You want to touch that. You want to taste that. Does anybody know who this is?
Mario Andretti.
Andy's first car. I like that. What's that?
Henry Ford.
Henry Ford. No, that's not Henry Ford. Yeah.
I think this gentleman said Rockefeller.
Rockefeller. No. No. So, Kelly.
He's the winner of the race.
Yes. Number 32. So this guy is, his last name, I don't know how to pronounce it quite. It's something like Haroond or Haroon. This is the guy who won the very first Indianapolis 500.
Wow.
So this is his car. It's called a Marmon Wasp. What's interesting as I thought about it, so it's called the Indianapolis 500. Why 500?
500
miles. And today that race takes like, what, 2 hours, something like 2.5 hours maybe. It's always been 500 miles. These cars did not go 230 miles an hour. So this race took 7 hours back the first time.
7 hours.
The guy that came in second place changed 14 tires, and the wheels don't come off the car. So you pry the tire off like a bicycle, and then put the next tire back on and pump it back up. And then you just think about, right, all this bizarre stuff. And, you know, and none of us knew who this guy was, right? And this was like, this was, you know, the Indianapolis 500, the first one. It was a big event. You know, it was huge prize money back then. So it was big news then. But so his glory, right, he sort of had his moment of glory, but, you know, it didn't really stick that well. It's like, this is what Wikipedia is for. It's like remembering the glory that you kind of forgot. Right, and so this, what I'm trying to bring up, all these perspectives on glory, is to see how we tend to think about it, and how that's different than how Jesus thinks about it. Right, we tend to think about it in terms of, yeah, you know, we want to be known, or we want to be part of this, or we want to touch this, just so we kind of taste it a little bit. And I think some of this is what Peter is thinking about. right? I want to taste this. I want to be part of whatever the glory is. Because he doesn't really understand what Jesus is about to do and the ramp. He'll get it, you know, down the road when it's all Jesus has died and raised again. But he doesn't get that at the moment. He just wants to be, you know, he wants to be part of this in whatever that means for Jesus' glory at the time. But this is what Jesus says right after that. So he says, all right, now's the time. I'm going to be glorified. God's going to be glorified in me. And he says to the disciples sitting there, little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. So given what we just talked about glory and Jesus is doing all this stuff, what do you think Peter, let's talk about Peter because we're going to come back to him. What do you think his reaction is when Jesus says this? Yeah.
Come. What do you mean I can't come?
Yeah. Right? It's kind of odd. Like Jesus is like, you've been with me the whole time. All right, now this is a big thing. And I'm going to go somewhere and you're going to look for me and you won't find me and you can't come with me. Right? How would that? That's, once again, Jesus being his confusing self, right? Like, he's always messing with us. Yeah.
But the apostle did ask him, what's going to happen to us?
That's starting to stew in their minds, right? They're wondering, okay, well, if you're going and we can't go with you, then what's up with us? Any other comments on this, thinking about Peter's reaction to this? So Jesus in response, you know, right after saying this, is saying, okay, so I'm, glory's coming. Kelly.
Why not?
Like, why can't I come?
Yeah, why not? Why can't I come?
We're coming right back to that. Good setup. Right? So Jesus says, glory's coming. I'm going to be glorified. God's going to be glorified in what I'm about to do. And you can't come. And, you know, I forgot I put some pictures in about this. I'm going to talk about this for just a bit. You know, what happens when you see something like this? Or when you come up to this? Yeah.
I go around.
Exactly. You're like, there's something there that's interesting or that you don't want me to see. So, yeah, Julie.
What's interesting about that verse is I see Jesus pulling rank. He says, little children.
Yeah.
Listen up, babe. I'm in charge. You are not. This is how it's going to be. And I wouldn't like it because, you know, the disciples aren't children. They're tall. You know, so I can see why they're not down with it.
Yeah. Yes. Good stuff, Andre.
I would like to say, Eric, maybe they thought Jesus was betraying them. I mean, we've been hanging out all these, you know, months, whatever. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you want to go your way and leave us by ourselves.
Leaving you out to dry.
Yeah.
Just severing everything. Mm-hmm. I think it's such a reaction, right? Whenever there's this whole idea of you can't do something, right? Whenever you hear that, you're sort of like, don't tell me that. I love this cartoon I found. I forgot to say this. It's hard to read here, but the dogs are walking around, you know, after dinner talking. And one dog says, it's always sit, stay, heal, never think and innovate and be yourself. And like this. Right? You get this notion of like, man, you're just telling me what I can't do. And we have this reaction against that. So it's this, I want to be part of this glory, but I can't, and why not? You know, what's going on? And then to confound it further, Jesus in the next verse gives him this. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We're going to come back to this. I'm queuing this up, but I feel like I have to do this in sequence, so this is kind of the interesting focus of this. But Peter, he sort of ignores those verses we just read. And he now is going to react to Jesus is saying, no, you can't come. He says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, well, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I not follow you right now? Right? I'll lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times." Right? So some of us are familiar with this story that Peter's like gung-ho, and he's going to end up denying Jesus. But right, picture right how we were talking about it, and I love, Julie, your comment about little children. Right? I think Peter's kind of like this. Right? Peter is like a little child, right? He's saying, come on, I can do that. You know, why can't I go with you? I've been with you all this time. You know, I want to... I love this photo. It just captures that moment of, don't tell me what I can't do. You know, I can do this. And then think about... This is all. I'm going to tie this somewhere, you know, for those of you that are worried, where is this all going? I have to peek because I don't remember. Yeah, we'll come back to that. Right, this setup of Jesus or Peter and us, we have this idea sometimes of, I know what Jesus is up to in my life or what I need to be doing. And so I've got the plan for myself figured out. And so I want to do what I think he wants me to do. And if something comes along that's an obstacle to that, you know, something like kind of like we were talking about this morning, Gail, like something comes on, you're like, man, that's messing what I think Jesus means to be doing. We're sort of like, wait a minute, come on. I'm going to be, that's not the way I want things to work out. Okay, so this is what Jesus wants to do. And I like the comment about what, you know, what are we going to do now that Jesus is gone? And this is what Jesus is trying to set up. Right? He's trying to say, this is what I'm going to be gone. This is what I want you to do when I'm gone. So this is for us. This is the big part for us. A new commandment I give you, I'm reading again, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Okay, there's a lot going on in there. What do you notice, or what stands out to you looking at this?
He really wants us to love others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's about to display how much he loves us, and so I think after he does what he does after this, it really drives this home, because I love you enough that I'm gonna die for you.
Right. What he's about to do is gonna set up as an example of what love is. And the love, if you're familiar with the Greek, has multiple words for love. This is the sacrifice your life for one another kind of love. Yeah, Kate?
Were the disciples initially asked by Jesus to drop everything, like put your careers, follow me, right? So I'm thinking maybe he's saying, you guys stick together and love each other because you're all you have. Mm-hmm. You're all you have here for a while.
You're going to need each other. Mm-hmm. That's good. Julie?
I just realized something. It was really easy to tell who the disciples of Jesus were when he was on earth, because they were following Jesus. But if Jesus is gone back up to heaven, you don't know if they're the disciples. I mean, he's not here. So how will they know that they are the disciples? It's going to be pretty mysterious.
Good.
Yeah. An interesting thought, I think. That it says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. I feel like he's trying to tell them two things there. One, that, you know, the way you love others is going to be the proof of your faith. And then two, that everybody's going to be looking at you.
Yeah. I like both of those. Yeah,
Eric, I want to say this. Each time I've seen the examples in that Bible, like at Gethsemane or something, he said, hey, won't you guys just stay with me while I'm going through this agony, right? But then, right there, he's saying, like, love one another. But see, each time I notice, he said, the heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's hard to love some people, man.
Yeah, we're coming to that. You're setting me up good. Yeah, Kelly.
One thing, when it says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, and he's saying to love each other, then he's saying that it's very apparent in the world at that time that they are not loving each other.
Right.
Right? I mean, because if there's only basically 12 disciples at that time, or how many ever, you know, multiple disciples there are, that there's not that love in the world of what he's describing. So that's how all men will know And that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal your thunder here. Steve, to a lot of people, was annoying. But when you sat down with the man and you talked to him and you got to know him, he wasn't annoying anymore. But people weren't willing to do that. A lot of people weren't willing to do that.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, so Vicky's referring to the memorial service that was yesterday for Steve Brower. And we are going to come to that. The other thing that stood out to me is he starts this out with a new commandment. Right? That's kind of big. That's a big thing, right? He's saying, I'm going to add something to the Ten Commandments. Right? So Jesus gets to do that, right? This is a big one. This isn't just, it'd be good if you guys did this once in a while kind of thing. And he doesn't really make it a distinction about, who you're supposed to love. And he says, and we commented on, that everybody's going to notice how you do this. And the thing I want you to think about is I think sometimes, and I know this is true for me, and we talked about this at Steve's memorial a bit yesterday. People commented on this. Sometimes and Andre, this is what you're referring to, right? We come to some group, and we like to love the people that are like us, right? Our buddies, our friends, people that wear the same bathing cap colors as we do. Just whatever sort of like us, because they're our friends, right? They're sort of easier to like, right? Okay, I can like somebody that likes me, no problem. I like that, But that's not the point here. And so this is from Luke. I realize it's a little hard to read all of this because I crammed it all in there. So I'm just going to read this. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Right? We're not going to stand out. Everybody's not going to look at us like, oh, you're loving your friends. How unique, No. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Sort of tying back to what his example is for us. Yeah.
I think that's pretty much the ultimate in principles before personalities.
I like that phrase, principles before personalities. And we talked about how somebody mentioned a comment about how this is tough. Right? This is not easy to do, right? And it's not supposed to be easy to do, necessarily.
That's how to do it.
Thank you. Close my next picture. So this isn't that somebody I know or somebody. This is. Really? You've seen this guy? So the thought I want to challenge us with, myself included, is how do you, break through the difficulty of somebody that you should love. Even in this room, right? I know there's relationships that are strained in this room, or people that don't get along, or whatever it is.
No way, man.
What'd you say?
Right. So how do we? How do you do this?
Ask God.
Thank you. Yeah. Julie.
There's actually instructions in the big book about how to do that. Mm-hmm. It says to pray every day for 2 weeks for somebody that you can't stand.
Oh, God.
And then pray that God would give them everything you want for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that if you do it every day for 2 weeks, your feelings will change. And I've tried it, and it works.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I think the point is, God, we can't do this, right?
Yeah.
We are not good at doing this, right? This is tough. And so our choice is to either say, that is tough. I'm just going to kind of do what I like to do and what's easy for me, which is pride and sin. Or God says, no, I want you to love each other, and I want you to love the people that are difficult to love in a way that isn't about you, which is very hard for us to do. And so we have to come to a point to say, okay, God, I can't do this. I need you to change me to be able to do this. And the crazy thing is when we do that and he does it, whoa, right? That's growing, right? That's living, right? That's what following Jesus is about, is growing and becoming somebody that isn't just the sorry person I am, just on my own, right? Yeah, Dave.
Yes, in the big book about alcoholism, tells us to, you know, when we're having difficulty forgiving someone because we feel like they've done us a really dirty thing to us, you know, really bad, and it's hard to forgive them. And it tells us to pray for them. And I thought that was a pretty stupid idea the first time I heard it. And but I've had since then actually tried to do it, and lo and behold, it's working. It might take a while. It certainly did for me. But I just kept praying for them to have everything that I wanted. I said, well, you know, give it to them. And it just changes you, you know, and that's the Lord's work right there.
I like the comment of it takes some time.
Yeah.
I think I can tend to like pray this. I'll be like, all right, God, I don't know how to love this person. Can you just kind of change me? And then I'm like, okay, like it's all on him now. I'm sort of forgotten about it. And that doesn't work as well. Yeah, Bruce.
I think sometimes too, when you read this, it gives you this impression that you know, even though I really don't love that person, I'm going to pretend like I do. And your impression is really, you know, and I've caught myself doing that a lot of times. And I when God convicts me, I'm not being sincere. It's like, you know, it's people pleasing. So.
Right. The other thing that's tough is when you feel like, oh, I'm going to love them by, you know, taking care of them or giving them what they need. And it's not that those aren't important, but I think entering into the space they're in, like going where they are and going into someone else's world as opposed to trying to pull them into your world, that's also tough. Yeah.
Hey, Eric, I want to say this. I can have differences with people, and, you know, we butt heads, but I would never want to see no harm come to anybody I butt heads with, you know, where I just want them to, you know, totally get annihilated, you know what I'm saying? I mean, why would I, you know, I mean, what am I going to gain from somebody else really just disappearing? So I can have a difference with somebody, but it's only going to be to a certain point.
I have heard people say that I don't like somebody, but I love them.
Yeah.
I'm still working on that one.
Me too.
There's a lady that I shared with for 15 years, and she was vocal. She's a wonderful person. She came out of Hitler's brainwashing, that sort of thing. And after 15 years, I kind of just left it alone. She called me one day and she says, I've been thinking a lot about what you've been telling me, and you know what? I get it. And she wanted to accept Christ. A year later, she called me and told me that she had spinal cancer. She frankly just didn't care because she knew where she was going. So don't give up. There's another woman I've been working on for 11 years. And she keeps telling me, I can't believe this stuff. I graduated from Berkeley. I said, God can forgive anything.
Where did you graduate from?
That was so true. And the point, again, I want to pull back to here is that it's... This is loving each other, right? Here in the room, right? Think about it in those terms. And, sorry, jumping around, right? So love your enemies. And the key is, you know, focus more on the hard love now and realize God's going to give you some, you're getting the glory, right? You're going to you are going to participate in the glory of God. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice to, like, participate that, having kind of earned it by loving sacrificially rather than just, right? He's not going to, you don't get to sort of go to heaven having said, I believe in Jesus, but I didn't do any, like, my life had no fruit, and you get to go there, but man, you didn't really earn your spot there, kind of. I'm free associating on that a little bit, but yeah.
I'd say the road to hell is paved on good intentions.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think that's all we have. Yeah. Back to Candy.
Candy starts off bad, but then it gets better.
No. The only reason the candy was there was because it was now and later. I'm glad you brought that up on this slide. I forgot to mention that. Thank you. Let me pray for all of us, myself included. Lord, we always, I too, we like the quick solution. We like what's easy. We want to be blessed without having to love. And Lord, this is part of what you want to do with us, and part of how you want to reach the world is by showing your love, sort of being real with each other, like actually us loving each other in the same way that you loved us. So, Lord, acknowledge that's how you want to use us, but acknowledge that that is difficult to do and that we really need your power to do that. But you promised that you'll give it to us. So help us to hear the voice of your Spirit, to rely on you, to keep coming back to you, and let your Spirit do this amongst us. Just give us courage to not be afraid to do this. Just help us believe that we'll be able to love each other because you're behind us doing that, because your Spirit will help us to do that. So, Lord, we need you desperately, but thanks for wanting more glory for us than we can even know how to imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Eric.